got 4 o'clock, and we've got some folks on. One on. Let me put that. This meeting called to order, and first order of business right now. A little change for these kids. We're going to have the invitation, the Pledge of Allegiance by 4-H kids that are here. Bodie Smith and Jonathan Leo Smith is going to lead the allegiance. And then we'll have a couple other things right after that. But please join me in rising for the invitation.
Come on up here, man.
Your turn.
Dear Lord, we ask you to be with these foreign court members. Help guide them as they make decisions for our county. Lord, we ask you to be with all county officials. Guide them and keep them safe. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your hand of protection. Be with everyone as they leave this courtroom this afternoon. All in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Bodie, where are you from? What club are you a member of?
Bologna 4-H Club.
Bologna 4-H Club. Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. All right.
John, come on in here, man.
Lee Smith?
Yes, sir.
You're next.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lee, where are you from?
Over there by Greenbrier, between Greenbrier and Pickles Gap area.
What club are you a member of?
HSF in Bologna.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank y'all both. All right, next on our revised deal is Casey Clark, 4-H, another 4-H member, and we'll have just a few remarks from Casey. Casey, if you want to step up here anywhere or whatever, it's your turn.
Casey, go stand right in front of that deal and look straight into Judge Baker's eyes. There you go, right there.
Hi, my name is Casey Clark. I'm in the host person for Show Team Club. I've been formally enrolled in 4-H since I was 5, although since I have 3 older siblings, I have been participating and going to 4-H events since long before I was 5. This is why I wanted to inform you of how important 4-H is, because 4-H has been my entire life. First, I just want to say thank you so much for supporting 4-H, and thank you for having me today to talk about it. The first reason why 4-H is so important is it brings communities together. For example, one year we had a chili cook-off, and we had the firefighter across the street come and judge it. Another example is we have, every year my club makes Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Christmas, and Thanksgiving cards, and we hand them out at nursing homes. Also, another example is we have college students or anyone who is willing to participate, I'll judge all countywide 4-H events. We also, if a 4-H'er is aged out, they can still participate by becoming a junior leader. So as you can see, 4-H not only brings the 5 to 19 ages of our community, but all ages. 4-H is literally for everyone. Furthermore, since it brings our communities together, it creates long-lasting friendships, and it helps our future generations because they have been exposed to people from different wealth classes and situations. It helps them bond and understand people for better whenever they are graduating or out in the community. Next, it helps expand a child's understanding and education, such as helping them understand what exactly goes into the food that producing the foods they eat, and even how to grow their own. 4-H has a club, competition, or program for every kid's interest, not just livestock. It keeps them active, developing their mind and character into strong, independent citizens, and it helps them, it teaches us how to write a portfolio, even how to go about an interview. It teaches us how to speak in front of an audience well, and which I believe to be a very essential life skill that you should have, and it teaches leadership. Now that I have given you just a little bit of insight of how important 4-H is, I would like to give you some examples of how it's affected my life. 4-H has definitely given me something to invest my time in that will help me in my future, such as teaching me how to speak in front of an audience well, which will help me in all my career, my future careers. In my community service project, it has helped me be more compassionate towards others. My leadership project has helped me be able to take situations head on and take action. And my livestock project, which has taught me how to be, it has taught me to be more responsible. So as you can see, 4-H helps make well-rounded citizens. So thank you so much for supporting 4-H, and thank you for having me here today to talk about it. So I really hope you enjoyed it, and again, thank you.
Ms. Park, thank you. The involvement this year of 4-H in the census accountability made our county jump. When the 4-H'ers got involved, competitive projects, Facebook and stuff of this nature, our numbers jumped in this county. Mr. Lawson, you are blessed to be around these type kids. I guarantee you that.
Yes, sir.
And I've been a member of 4-H for 68 years. I'm not trying to set no record, but I'm getting bad close. But thank Ms. Clark, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
One other item on our list before we start our meeting is Christy Smith. Would you come forward? I promised the Master Gardeners that Christy could speak just a minute about Master Gardeners.
So I'm Krista Quinn. I'm the Faulkner County Extension Agent for Horticulture and the coordinator of the Faulkner County Master Gardeners. And October is Master Gardener Appreciation Month. And, you know, Master Gardeners, I think you know, do a lot of really great work in our county, maintaining a lot of landscape, you know, public landscapes, including the one right here in front of the courthouse. Master Gardeners are able to do this great work because of supporters like all of you. And actually, in March, we nominated Judge Baker as our friend of the Faulkner County Master Gardeners, and we gave him that award. But then we sent his nomination on to the state level, and so he was recently selected as the state friend of the Master Gardeners for his wonderful support of our program here in the county. And so that's what these pictures are showing is that's Bernie Kurtz, our state Master Gardener coordinator, giving Judge Baker his award. We do have a little gift that we're going to give all of you from both 4-H and Master Gardeners today.
Yeah, we want to thank y'all for all your support, and we've got a Master Gardener calendar and a 4-H mask for everybody for helping us with your support. We really appreciate it. Well, all the JPs raised their hands. We told them if the JPs raised their hands, y'all aren't all around the table. And whoever's not here tonight, we'll get a mail.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Good to see you, young man.
Good to see you today.
Oh, you already got the mail? Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Phil, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hold on. Let me change the screen here.
Cammie, thank you, too.
Thank you,
Cammie, for the work you do with 4-H programs.
Do you have fun making the video? Oh, okay. We're done now.
Well, while they're doing that, tell us about if anybody wants a turkey breast for Thanksgiving, you've got them for sale.
So November 3rd is the deadline for ordering your smoked turkeys. So it is just, the flyer says turkey, but it's 10 pounds of turkey breast. So it's a big old thing of meat, but it's great. The cost is $40. You should have gotten a little flyer in your mailboxes. But if you need that, just holler at us. But they're $40. You have to have them ordered by November 3rd.
And they're cooked and ready to serve.
Yes. Okay. And so pickup's going to be when? You get to choose. There's four different times and dates. But it'll be the week of Thanksgiving.
If you've never had one, folks have missed out. They are tremendous. And it's one of the few fundraisers they have during the year. And the foundation needs support.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank y'all. Thank you.
We didn't destroy it.
You are blessed.
I just don't know how to get it back on. We're okay.
Okay. Thank y'all very much. We appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start with the roll call. Margaret, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Cates.
I think he's online.
I can't see.
It's there. We just can't see it. Justice Cates, are you still there?
I'm here.
Good.
Yeah, here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahosky.
Present.
Knight. Knight.
Good enough.
Is that Justice Knight? Are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Pearson.
I'm here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Shock.
Here.
Okay. Thanks, Lord. Next item on is approval of the journal. Turn to tab 1. What is your pleasure?
Make a motion. We approve the journal as presented.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Approval of the journal. Are there any questions about any item on the journal? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That's an aye. We got that. Okay. County officers report. Treasurer Sampson, start with you.
Thank you, Judge. If you turn with me to the summary for statements, quorum court, January 1st to September 30th. County general fund, $1,000, $2,295,065.93. County road fund, $2,000, $4,256,792.89. County road sales tax fund, $3,402, $1,178,061.31. Animal Welfare and Control, Fund 3404, $1,669,660.14. Criminal Justice Sales Tax, Fund 3407, $1,233,072.59. If you could move to page 2. This is the County General Revenue Chart. It's not a very good chart because we are like $14,000 different from where we were this time last year. So essentially the same deal. You can't hardly make those two lines out, but we're in the same spot right now in September as we were last year. And flip to page 3. Sales tax for September was $889,603.87. That's up 7.57% year to date over last year and 7.97% year to date. Flip again, and we are 78% projected. Projected revenue is $9.8 million. I believe it was said, asked to me 2 months ago. I thought we'd crossed $10 million. At that point, I did not. I wasn't ready to say that, but it looks like that sales tax is probably going to eclipse $10 million this year. And if you'll turn with me one more time, as you can see, the chart indicates with the three-month moving average and the one-month moving average, we've really had a real good run here. This past kind of shutdown era. So sales tax numbers are really doing good. As far as county general numbers, we're still kind of waiting to see the ad valorem taxes come in to see what we're going to be. Are there any questions?
Scott, you talked a lot to other counties.
Yes, sir.
Are they seeing what we're seeing?
Yes, yes. And I talk mainly to the large counties kind of our size in our demographic. Yes, they are seeing what we're seeing. I believe I've talked about in the past months that this is not just a kickback or a catch-up from the closures that we had back in the spring, but we believe it's still some of this internet sales tax and taking over time for everybody to start charging for it. If you will remember, September of 19 was the first year in which we actually saw revenue from that sales tax collected. At that time, I thought we'd be up 10 to 20%, which is too much, but We were only up 5 or 6%, and I was a little bit disappointed in that. But now, as you can see, as we come back into this September versus last September, we're back up another 7.5%. And it looked almost to January or February this year before we started seeing those roughly 8, 9, 10, 12% increases. Short of the COVID months, we've seen pretty much that all year. And then, so I expect this trend to kind of keep going through December of about up about 5% versus last year. And like I said, I think we'll eclipse the $10 million mark in the sales tax.
Thank you. Any questions? Scott?
Let me make one more comment. Y'all know we are coming into budget season. Revenues are going to be for County General pretty much flat for 2021 revenue projections versus 2020. We're going to be hopefully be up a little bit in our sales tax, but we have fallen behind in a couple of other things. So being cautious with that, I can go ahead and tell you that it's going to be for County General, the revenue projection is almost going to be identical to 2020. We're working on the revenue projections right now. We'll have those by the end of this month. And then by probably the 10th or 15th of November, we'll have the carryover numbers projections. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Marcus, your report's in here. Anything you want to add?
No, Your Honor. It looks like we're at 66% of our budget, basically, which is pretty good. And that normally we would be about 75% at this point. So it looks like everybody is managing their budget quite well.
Real point. Good.
And we are just, for elections, we are having record-breaking turnout at all the polling sites. We will probably hit right at our numbers of yesterday, which is a little unusual for a Tuesday to hit this as high as you do on the first voting day. So we'll probably be at over 8,000 by the end of the day of votes for the last 2 days, which is amazing.
Any glitches?
Any what?
Any glitches? Anybody been
actually, glitches? It's been quite smooth. Just a little date issue on my side, on mine at the county clerk's, but it's just a date issue that got pulled in wrong, and we've already got it cleared up. Okay. A tablet just jumped a date on us for some reason.
Sheriff's Office, I believe their report is in your file. It's right behind Margaret's for the status from the Sheriff's Office. I don't have a page number on it, but it's last under item on the counter reports and all part of your file. Any other county officers? You got anything? Well, yeah, let me ask you, how did tax collections go as far as COVID and all that?
It was October 15th, that's for sure. It wasn't near as busy as it has been in the past. We don't have near as much mail. I think more people are paying online. I did run my numbers, and real estate taxes are up from last year, but our personal property is down. I figure a lot of people are going to probably hold off on the personal property until they have to get car takes due to COVID.
I noticed that one. I tried to wait for the last day or two, but I noticed there wasn't a big line. You were managing the line, and there wasn't a big line like in the past year.
No.
Thank you. Any other county officer report? Let's move on to standing committee reports. I want to start with on that, Randy, would you give us Courts of Public Safety?
Yes, sir. Courts of Public Safety Committee met on October the 13th to talk about circuit court fines and fees, and we'll have more on that tonight on the agenda.
Okay. Steve, are you with us? Steve, good?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir. First Judicial Committee met last Tuesday night where we passed a not a resolution, but forwarded on to the full Budget Finance Committee a request for the corner for budgeting season, and then we met again today, and we actually did not pass an ordinance to the committee for tonight, but Justice Stevens will talk about that here in just a bit.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Justice Knight?
No report, Your Honor.
Justice Pickett?
Judge, we have one ordinance for the full court to consider tonight.
Thank you. Okay. Done the 4-H presently. Old business. And right now, please turn with me to tab 3, proposed ordinance 20-21. County Board Transparency final reading tonight. Councilor, would you take off?
Yes, sir. The proposed ordinance 20-21, sponsored by Chris Kendrick, reads, be it enacted by the Forum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled County Board Transparency Report Ordinance. Whereas, the citizens of Faulkner County expect transparent county government, it is imperative to publish reports of all boards that require a public appointment which conduct business that is vital to county operations. Whereas the citizens of Faulkner County need to be able to view all opportunities for public service so they can have adequate time to apply and understand requirements to serve their fellow citizens on county boards. Now, therefore, be enacted by the Forum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas. 1. All boards shall be posted on the Faulkner County website to include, but not limited to, Equalization Board, Library Board, Museum Commission, Volunteer Fire Department Board, Public Facilities Board, Election Commission, Emergency Squad, Law Library Board, Lake Conway Community Wastewater Utility Board. 2. Each board shall have the following information posted: ordinance or law creating committee, purpose of the board, applicable state laws that govern each board, requirements for those serving on the board, pay amounts if applicable, board member information, 1. Name, phone numbers, email, and addresses of each member, 2. Who appoints the member, i.e. county judge, school district, cities, quorum court, 3. Term information, date appointed and when term expires, 3. The board vacancy shall be posted on the county website for 1 month to allow applications from citizens of Faulkner County. 4. The board information shall be updated after a new appointment has been made and or at a minimum annually.
Thank you, Councilor, for the third reading. We have a motion and a second for the passage of this. We're in the discussion stage for the third time. And Chris, I want to defer to you.
Sure. Thank you, Judge. This just came about because I know earlier in the year we were looking around at some of the county boards, and it was hard for me to find information on those. So I know if it's hard for a JP to find it, it's hard for a citizen just looking for it to find it. And there was also some questions about who can serve regarding laws and everything else and terms. And I just thought this would be a good way to put all of our board information out there on the website for everybody to see so they can fully understand it when they're applying. They can understand what they're applying for. And it would just be a lot more transparent and bring that up to date more so than what we're currently doing with these.
Other discussion on this proposed ordinance 20-21.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question. I think you probably have to address this to our counselor. If you'll indulge me just a minute. The ordinance says that all boards shall be posted on the Faulkner County website to start with. I am not sure that the legislative body, the quorum court, has the authority. I believe there's a separation of powers issue here. The ordinance that requires a board to be created does not necessarily mandate the quorum court to present the ordinance. It says the quorum court can present the ordinance. Further reading into that, and that's ACA 1414-705. Further into that ordinance, or that statute actually, it discusses types of boards: advisory boards, administrative boards. The statute also specifies that advisory boards are presented by the county judge, the office of the county judge, without any participation of the quorum court to approve the appointment of a member to the advisory board. Looking at that, seeing that the statute says that the quorum court can, it's not a mandate, it's not a shall, and also the description of advisory board says that the quorum court has no authority to approve an appointment, I'm questioning whether or not that is entirely an executive privilege, or is that a legislative? Are we overstretching? Are we reaching into the powers of separation doctrine?
There's a lot packed in that one question, but let me try to take it step by step. The first issue I think that Justice Boyer is asking about is whether the first point is overly broad. And although I don't, it could be amended to be more specific. So it could be amended to say Faulkner County Administrative Boards. And it could, it says but not limited to, so we're not limited to just those on there. But I think the second issue that you raise is probably the one that's a little bit more pertinent, and that's just the legality of the ordinance in regard to the separation of powers. As we've discussed, it seems like many times in the past several months, this body is presented with the ability to create policy for the county. And it's the executive branch that is the administrative function, that they're there to deal with the day-to-day functions of the county. So the question becomes whether this is a policy issue or is this a day-to-day function. In my view, I believe this is a day-to-day function in asking for the website to contain specific information. I'm sure there are others that may disagree and say that this is a broader policy, but just similarly, this court could not mandate that all county vehicles be purple or that all interior buildings have a certain whatever. Like, there's certain small functions of the county that by constitution are delegated to the executive officer. And it is my opinion that this ordinance does overstep its bounds. I respect Justice Kendrick. I think there's a lot of good ideas in here. Legally, I believe those are ideas that need to be carried out by the executive officer, not by the quorum court.
I've got a question for the counsel.
Yeah.
Counselor, is there anywhere in state law that says we cannot do this?
Is there
a specific state law that says we cannot create transparency policy?
Oh, there's nothing that says you cannot create a transparency policy. The issue would be the constitutional provision that says one branch can't exceed the authority of the other branch.
Right.
That's the only issue.
Right. I didn't think there was anything specific. So thank
Jerry, I'm coming back to you. Did you get yours addressed?
Yes, sir. So what I understood you to say, Counselor, is that we probably are encroaching on the separation of powers doctrine by mandating that this be done when this is obviously up to the judge to decide whether or not he wants this posted. Perhaps even the individual boards require times when they know they have a vacancy and when they do not know they have a vacancy. But there again, they would report, they would not report that to the quorum court, they would report that to the judge. And the judge would be responsible for filling a vacancy, which implies to me that it's the executive branch of government that has the authority, obviously by statute, to make appointments, and also excludes the quorum court from being involved in some of the appointments for approval that the judge recommends. I don't see how we cannot do anything indirectly that we are prohibited directly.
I think that's fair. Let me also add on, there are parts of this ordinance that could be determined policy and parts that could not necessarily be determined policy. So it's very hard for a circuit court, if this ever was to get litigated, they can't simply blue pencil an ordinance. It's either good or it's not, okay? So there are certain parts of here that would change policy, such as how many weeks does a job need to be posted. That is a policy change that potentially the quorum court could address. The issue then is just simply, does the quorum court want to enlarge what is currently a two-week policy to a four-week policy? But overall, as far as mandating what has to be on a website, those are things generally we leave to the executive authorities. And the biggest case on this has to deal with a quorum court that wanted to change the operating hours of I believe it was a collector, that the quorum court was getting feedback that the collector's hours were too narrow. And so the quorum court made a ordinance that set the opening hours for the collector's office. And that actually was upheld. That's something that was appealed and was found that was a policy decision. However, we can see that there are certain things in this particular ordinance that, like I said, probably are going to be policy issues. How long do we hold a board position open? And other functions of this ordinance that are more detailed day-to-day functions of county government.
I'm good, Mr. Chair.
I can't see behind you. You got any questions on this, please? Rose, you have your hand up first.
Well, I just have a comment. So I feel like due to executive branch having control over if this can get on the website or not, that somewhat, if you don't, Judge, put it on the website, I feel like it restricts our citizens, current citizens and new citizens that move to the county that maybe want to get interested, or maybe they need to find out who's in charge of this without, you know, and they go, our first go is not to call Judge Baker. Our first go as a citizen is to go online and look it up. So I just want to say for the record that I support this, but if we can't pass it, that's fine, but I support it being put on the website. And I hope that's something that you, Judge Baker, will look at considering for the residents of the county.
And let me just speak so I'm clear. Quorum court can pass this. The issue is, well, it's sort of like people saying, can I sue somebody? When they come to my office, sure. Anybody can sue anyone for anything, okay? So I don't want to be on record as saying, you can't pass this. You can. What I'm saying is, I think this is not an ordinance that would be upheld at the circuit court level because of the broad structure of the ordinance, if that makes sense. So you can pass this tonight. I just don't think it's enforceable.
Thank you. That's all I had to say.
Lindy, I think I saw your hand.
Yes, sir. Just so that we have as clean an ordinance as we can, Section 3, the board vacancy shall be posted on the county website for 1 month. You know, I really believe that I'd make a motion to amend that to 2 weeks so that it aligns with our county policy manual, personnel manual. So I'll make a motion that we amend 1 month to 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. I have a motion on the floor.
Second.
It's been seconded. The amendment is open for discussion. And the motion is to change the website from 1 month to 2 weeks. And I guess 2 weeks is 14 days.
Judge, if I may.
Yes.
Okay, the reason I had it in a month is I felt like a month was the adequate amount of time that was needed for all citizens to really look at this. This is not a personnel position that we're hiring. And a month gives ample time to do that. It allows plenty of people to look at it and see. So that's why I had it in there. And I still like the month. I think that's that gives enough time to do that.
Other discussion.
So in response to that, I did receive some feedback from some board members who said that 1 month was excessive when they need to replace the system. So just
the last example that I'm aware of, we had three people resign from the South Hillo Fire Department about 6 weeks ago.
I think two people, yeah. But maybe three. You might be right.
Well,
we had several.
Two or three. All right. I really think it was three. We throwed it out there to get the people. Somebody wanted to go over, they had the application. We filled those applications, y'all approved them. But they need to have people there that could function because reports were due, everything else. So we threw it out there for 2 weeks. And I swore them in after the court report met on Tuesday the next week. No. That was the last thing that happened. A month in that case, they couldn't function with what was left. In other words, on the board. They had to fill them in a hurry. People resign. Sure. Most boards, in all fairness, have a vacancy because somebody resigns. There's no term limits, or there probably is, but they're getting reappointed. But when people resign, and if you happen to have a majority, the board becomes non-functional until you get the appointments made. That's, I know that's happened in the last 6 weeks.
Sure. I mean, there's nothing that says that they, I mean, if there's a known term limit that's expiring, a month is, they can have it posted a month and have it posted and fill it before there's any vacancy. And as we've stated before, and I know this was mentioned in a previous meeting, this exact point, but if there is a true emergency where the board cannot function without appointing a member, then it can be brought to the quorum court and we can waive the requirements to do that so the board can function if it is a true emergency. But if not, a month allows plenty of time for everybody in Faulkner County to go view this and to apply.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor for an amendment to change the 1 month to 2 weeks and then second. Still open for discussion. I don't know how well the folks online are hearing me, but if you've got a question on it and you hear me, don't want to overlook anybody.
We can hear you fine, Judge.
Okay. Thanks. No question from...
This is just a case to clarify. Right now, we're talking about the amendment to change it from being posted for 1 month to 2 weeks, correct?
That's right. That's what's under discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought I heard somebody else, but I'm not this out here. But I know down at Danny's place, that did come about on the fire. And it was one more mess, but I think it's been straightened out a little bit. Other discussion? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Present.
Cates.
No.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
No.
Kendricks.
No.
Lahosky.
No.
Knight. Knight.
Justice Knight, we're looking for a yay or nay on the amended from 4 weeks to 2 weeks.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Seven yeses.
So the amendment does pass. All right. Strike out. I was going to ask this question. Councilman, since we amended an ordinance that had to be read 3 months, Are we okay on taking this amendment right now, or we have to go back?
We're okay. If you want to be certain, we can always vote to waive the three readings, but I think we're okay on this one.
Okay. Well, that entered my mind. All right. Okay, we're back to the original motion as amended for proposed ordinance 20-21. Further discussion on this ordinance. Yes, excuse me.
A question for Philip, please. If we pass this ordinance tonight, you said that it doesn't. We can pass it. If we did, what happens next? What's the procedure? What happens next? If it's not legal, where does it go from there?
The judge gets to determine what he believes is enforceable and not enforceable. So at that point, the executive official then gets to decide
if he's going to sign off on it or not.
Well, by sign off, in the sense, not actually sign the ordinance, but whether he will put it in place. And so at that point, that's where this whole separation of powers doctrine becomes difficult, because it puts elected officials in difficult places to try and figure out what it is actually policy that has been determined by the quorum court, and what is a day-to-day activity. That's really the balance here. So it's with Judge Baker after the quorum court approves it.
So, not saying I want to do this, just a suggestion. If this was changed from an ordinance to a resolution, was that something that has to be read?
No.
And that's something that could be done tonight if the ordinance did not pass?
It's something that could be done tonight. Exactly. And I would also say, it's one of those things, as a practical matter, it can be done as a resolution. I'll hold off for
okay.
On
Judge, if I may.
Yes,
I just want to say, on this ordinance, we know that there is no specific statute that says that we cannot create transparency policy. We are acting in good faith, and it's really about how transparent of a county government are we going to be? And we've heard a lot of these similar arguments and a lot of transparency issues that we've done in the past, and we passed them all, and there's never been an issue, and it's jumped our transparency scores, and it's brought us up into a more modern age on transparency, giving information and empowering the citizens of this county to fully understand what their county government is doing. And this is one way that we can help give them more information that they can serve the county government. And so to me, this is, it's very simple of, are we going to be transparent, and are we going to keep working to increase transparency, or are we not? Because, and I appreciate our counselor's opinions. Sometimes I agree with them, sometimes I don't. On this one, I disagree, because there's not any statute that says we cannot do this, and I think we need to pass it.
Chairman?
Yes.
Back to the issue about the resolution. The resolution is non-binding, correct?
That's correct.
But we're still also crossing the threshold between the separation of powers when we mandate to the judge the things that the judge has to fulfill his duties with if he elects, the judge elects to do that.
I think typically what we see are resolutions are more requests, if you will. Generally, in quorum courts, we treat resolutions as a request to the elected official to do things. I think in times past, we've used resolutions similarly. I don't disagree with anything that Justice Kendrick has said in regards to the meat and potatoes behind this ordinance, that it would help with transparency scores. It absolutely... our website could be updated. I don't disagree with any of that at all. My only response to that might be, that's the job of the elected official. And if you have issues with the way that the website is developed, then that's an issue to take up with the elected official, not the quorum court.
Can I continue?
Sure.
Yeah. The county resolution is defined as the adoption of a formal statement of policy by a quorum court, the subject matter of which would not properly constitute an ordinance, a resolution may be used whenever the quorum court wishes merely to express an opinion as to some matter of county affairs, and a resolution shall not serve to compel any executive action. The idea of changing to a resolution doesn't change the idea that the separation of powers is still in play here. The ordinance crosses over the separation of powers threshold because it mandates to the judge, the executive, on what to do with board members that we are not even, the quorum court is not even required to be involved with the selection of.
Judge Baker?
Yeah.
I don't think it's mandating anything. I think it's purely a suggestion. And what Judge Baker did with it would be on him. It's just that we are suggesting that we would like this in front of the community for the residents to be in the know of what's out there for them to possibly participate within different commissions and boards in our county. That's my opinion.
Other discussion. You have other?
Yeah.
I've looked at this proposed ordinance for 3 months now. I think it is important to be transparent to the public, our constituents. I think that I have no problem voting for this. I think if the county judge doesn't follow through, then he's going to be accountable to the voters if they don't like this, his actions. I, for one, am going to support
it. Judge, can I respond?
I heard somebody say, Tyler, I believe. Tyler?
Yeah, Zach, if you just give me just a second.
Yeah.
That's all right?
Yes, sir. You got
to go ahead. All right. I just want to echo what Justice Barrett said about that, is that, you know, we're a court by the people and for the people. You know, we represent the people out in the county. You know, I'm no one special. My neighbors just said, hey, we want you to, you know, help speak for us when it comes to county government problems, you know, and what we think in county government. And one of those things is transparency, you know, on the topic of transparency. And so if we can do something like this that we can, you know, try to hold, we've asked many things, I think, of executive branch elected officials across county government, you know, not just the judge. We've asked multiple things of all of our different executive branches. So I think just being able to hold our local county government accountable for transparency, you know, I think that's what we're trying to do. Like Justice Kendrick said, to just hold ourselves to a higher standard, be more transparent to our constituents. So I just wanted to kind of echo what Barrett said. I appreciate it.
Justice Gates? Justice Gates, you're next.
I thought he was the one. Hey, Andrew, I'm ready to talk for the vote, so I'm just throwing that out there.
I'll second that.
Well, the vote's been called for. Discussion stopped, and the clerk called the roll.
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
No.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
No.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
No.
Pearson.
No.
Pickett.
No.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Eight yeses.
Proposed ordinance 20-21 does pass. Going back to it now, there's several, there's a couple of advisory boards that need to be added to it. I know of.
and a levy board and some other things. But there's there may be more than that, but right now I know of three that's not on there. Okay, moving down the list, proposed ordinance 20-27, fines and fees, AAC.
Your Honor, I make a motion that we return that to the Courts of Public Safety Committee.
Second. Motion been made and seconded to return this to the Public Safety Committee. I hear any, floor is open for any discussion.
Your Honor, if I can speak to that.
Please.
So the Courts of Public Safety Committee, after a considerable amount of discussion and support from Lindsey French from the AAC, is very helpful and everything, initially forwarded this to the Quorum Court for us to discuss tonight to move forward. But there has been a lot of discussion since last Tuesday night as we learned more about this. And we really developed four options in regarding to dealing with fines and fees. We've been talking about that for some time, and I've covered this in the Personnel Committee earlier this evening, and I'll try to do a quick abbreviated version here in the court. Of the options that we've discussed this week, I've been involved with meetings with our attorney, with the judge, with our collector, and with the sheriff, and we've gathered more and more information that we did not have in the Courts and Public Safety Committee last week. Of the four options that we've talked about this week that we've kind of developed, option one potentially includes hiring a new position in the county. Initially, we had discussed that being in the collector's office and being paid for from her automated fund, and then utilizing that position for collecting those taxes that she uses, and also with the sheriff's office. That looked like a good plan, and to make sure that we, you know, met the spirit of the transparency ordinances we have to have ordinances for tonight. There's another ordinance tonight that actually includes that did not pass the Personnel Committee. The reason for that is initially when we started pushing that and discussing that, it looked like a viable option until we found out there may be some legal issues with actually collecting circuit court fines and fees utilizing the collector's automated fund. So that adding a person is still potentially an option, but we have a lot of hurdles that we have to go through for that. Option number two is to keep doing what we're currently doing, which is nothing. Again, we talked about it in Courts and Public Safety, that was not really a viable option. These are obligations that we as a county are obligated to do. These are fines and fees, both at the collector's office and with the circuit court fines and fees that, you know, have been levied that we need to be working on as a county government. So I think that doing nothing is not an option. Option three is actually what this ordinance does, which is taking advantage of the Arkansas Association of Counties program, which is a very viable program. I still like that program. The more we got into it, though, there is one caveat with it, is that there is some potential startup fees that we would have to agree to invest in. You know, could be from $16,000 to $20,000 that we would have to come up with to begin with. You know, that's another debate. I think that we could do that, but that is something that, of concern. And I think the AAC option is still on the table for a future opportunity. But option four is the one that we discussed in the Personnel Committee, that it seems the direction that we're going to go, which is the reason why I want to table this ordinance. And option four is to implement a pilot program utilizing the services of the county attorney and his team. The neat thing about utilizing that is there's no startup cost, there's no appropriation from the court, and there's no hiring of additional people. As we've gone into the various conversations this week, we realize that there are a number of questions that even to this point, we still don't either have answers to or just haven't received the answers to them yet. And we're under a little bit of a time constraint because we have to have this program up and running by early December if we're going to take advantage of it this year. And so I believe that it would be appropriate to get some of our questions answered and to move forward with the program and develop it. Oops, let me make that go away. And develop it in the county attorney's office to answer a lot of these questions that we have. Now, quite frankly, it's going to require some cooperation between the sheriff's office, county attorney's office, the collector's office, and the circuit clerk's office. But in my conversations with all of them, they all seem to be on board to cooperate together to try to solve this problem, and they agree that it's a viable problem. So that's kind of a long way to go around the reason I tabled this to send it back to courts and public safety until such time that we have a recommendation from the pilot program.
Thank you, Justice Pagan. All up on discussion of his amendment. Motion. It wasn't an amendment. It was a motion. But I need to ask, let me ask counsel just a minute. Was I out of order for not having it read before that motion got put in place?
I think you're okay.
Okay. All right.
Judge, I do have a question. Counselor, do you feel like you and your staff have the capability and the bandwidth to take this on?
We can get it done.
Mr. Boyer?
Counselor, what would be your objective time frame for the startup of this? We're in a startup area right now. Mm-hmm. So are we talking a week or a month or 2 days?
So we've always been preparing for the option that somewhere in county, in-house, we would need to support a person that was doing this role. And so because of that, we've already ordered the necessary documents and have got the ball rolling on getting all the Social Security numbers that we'll need. We haven't entered into any contracts, obviously, but I would suspect that the first week or two, between now and November 7th or so, most of our time will be spent combing data, going through the spreadsheet that we have as far as the list of debtors, and really trying to figure out who we think are going to be money well spent on sending letters out to. Hopefully by November 14th, we'll begin mailing letters out to the debtors. That way, by January 1st, anyone that has requested a hearing will have had that hearing, and we'll upload the data on January 2nd, the first working day in the new year.
Follow up?
Good.
You got the floor, Jim.
You throw out the date of November the 14th. The motion is to throw this back to courts and public safety. Is that correct, Justice Higgins?
Yes, Justice Boyer. My intent as the chair of the Courts and Public Safety Committee is to table it until such time that we get feedback from the pilot program. The goal of it, really, we don't need feedback until sometimes like this time next year, maybe a little earlier, so that we can determine what direction that we want to go for the 2022 year. That we're preparing for the 2021 year at this point. And so it could be that the recommendation come back and say, you know what we really need to do is this is a whole lot of in-house work, and we need to revisit the AAC program, and maybe that's the best way to go. Or it could be that, yes, with a little more investment, we can do this in-house. I would love to have those answers right now so that we could do that this year. But the more that I have gotten into this, I feel like we're not prepared for all of that. And secondly, we need some feedback from the executive branch. And so far, really, it's been the quorum court driving this, and that's okay. But there's a lot of questions that we as court members aren't involved in when we get down into the weeds. And to your point, crossing the line with the executive branch, we don't really need to get into the weeds. No. We need to support the executive branch and the recommendations they're making to us.
Exactly. Thank you. Then if we take this back to courts and public safety, since there's no money involved, do we have to go to budget and finance after courts and public safety, or can we go straight from courts and public safety to the full quorum court?
As far as this motion taking it back to courts and public safety?
If it passes courts and public safety.
Well, again, I intend to table it indefinitely until such time that I hear from the pilot program, which will probably be 6 or 8 months.
Well, also through the debt set-aside garnishment program, we'll be able to provide monthly updates on what we're receiving. So as part of perhaps to the courts and public safety, we can just make that a monthly, or anytime the courts and public safety meets, we can have a spreadsheet given to the members of that committee that would show what the garnishments for that month
look like, and so that can kind of keep us up to date with what's going on with the program.
So we're going to need an ordinance to establish a pilot program, is that correct?
No, sir.
We're not?
No, sir.
Okay.
This, currently, the Quorum Court has put the responsibility of collecting fines and fees with the sheriff. That duty would remain with the sheriff. It's okay. Just that the sheriff, as one of my clients, I would be operating as an agent and assisting him.
Very good. Well,
I just want to speak in support of this, and it's a huge undertaking for your office to take it on. But I think it will set the tone to what we need in the future. And it is something that needs to be addressed, and it is at no expense at this point. But the undertaking of it all in taking the context program and blending it with the SOMS, S-O-M-S, Sheriff's Program, who I understand, I guess, are you prepared to work with them on that? It's my understanding that that only law enforcement can get into that existing system. So
that's right, and that's part of the reason that the sheriff will continue to be a part of the process. It really won't be much different than what we were discussing with ARCTREC. It's simply that instead of shipping it off to having the sheriff ship that data to AAC, that they'll just be using the in-house part of the county.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking this on.
Judge Baker is really a good person.
Andy, you former sheriff, you got any comment on the direction this is trying to lead?
I mentioned in the committee meeting, it's kind of like tackling a 200-year oak tree with a Barbadell hatchet, but it's got to start sometime.
Judge, I want to raise my hand.
Yes, you got
it. I just want to kind of echo what Rosie said and say I appreciate the judge, our counselor, collector, sheriff, whoever came together to kind of work to solve this problem. If anytime the executive branch can put their heads together to solve a problem for the county, you know, without potentially additional personnel and additional funding, I know I really appreciate that. And I also appreciate Mrs. French taking the time that she did to kind of walk down this road of self-discovery with us.
And to add to that, I do commend Justice Higgins for taking on the role of setting you guys down last week to discuss, and then Philip had to call us all individually. So I'm sure that was a task in itself, so appreciate that too.
I try to learn something every day. There's 8,000 names on this list. No telling how many of them's dead.
And meeting these addresses.
There's no telling how many of them's dead. One of the first things I'd hope would happen that we could keep control of it in the county. Because when you're, if you've got control of it, you still got options. One is, you might, we have a group of people on there that you offer them some kind of incentive on their death and get a judge to sign off on it, but you still got control. That's what sounds good to me. And other discussion? Yes.
Counselor, I know the estimate for the AAC ARCTREC was around 16 to 20. What do you expect it to cost your office, and do you have the budget to absorb that?
Yep, so we have called around. We expect to pay about $1 per letter that we send out. We will likely contract with an outside group to do the mail merge and to send those letters out. I suspect that worst case scenario, if we send out 8,000 letters, that's $8,000. We'll pay 35 cents per debtor to basically find Social Security numbers that we may not already have. I suspect that will be about $1,000 as well. So in total, I think we're looking at about $9,000 for mailing and assembling the data. The rest will simply be personnel issues and dealing with that in-house as best we can. I was just going to say, Judge, I think in the county attorney's budget, we have about, I want to say about $10,000, maybe a little bit more in regards to the two categories, our other professional services and special legal services. This year in particular, we haven't had a lot of litigation costs, so those funds are still mainly available to use for the remaining part of the calendar year.
In regards to the amendment of sending this proposed ordinance back to Courts and Public Safety, any other discussion? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Barrett.
No,
we're sending it back to court.
The amendment was send it back to court. Okay,
there we go. Thank you.
Wait a minute. I was out of order earlier, I thought, but not. Okay. I don't hear any other discussions from the Madam Secretary Caldwell.
Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Proposed ordinance 20-7 amendment does pass. All right, turn with me to tab 5. Under new business, proposed ordinance 20-24, appropriation ordinance. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that the full court consider proposed ordinance 20-24.
Second.
Excuse me just a minute. Now, you moved for consideration. Did you move for approval or just consideration? Did you move it to be approved?
I moved for consideration, but I want it approved.
Well, I just, listen, folks, it's been a long day, but I thought you did. All right. Motion been made and seconded. Proposed ordinance 20-24. Councilman, would you read the ordinance?
Yes, sir. Proposed ordinance 20-24. Being enacted by the Quorum Court in the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 19-48, December 17, 2019. Section 1, $62,807.50 is anticipated projected to the No Fed State Grant Fund 3518 Revenue Series Code 8767. $62,807.50 is appropriated from Fed State Grant Fund 3518 to Department 0109 Elections as follows: $18,000 to 1,002 salaries part time, $8,500 to 1,005 overtime, $2,100 to 1,006 Social Security matching, $1,302.50 to 1,007 retirement matching, $12,905 to 2001 general supplies, $8,000 to 2002 small equipment, $12,000 to 4004 machinery and equipment.
You've heard the ordinance 20-24 read. The floor is now open for discussion. First, I want to commend our clerk's Margaret Daughter for getting this grant. I've always heard that some good things do fall in your lap.
Every now and then.
And this may have been one of them. Okay. Margaret, do you want to address this?
Yes, this is a non-taxpayer grant, so I was proud to apply for it and receive the grant. It's not money that's going to come back and be taken back from the taxpayers. This money is to be used for the additional supplies that we need for COVID, additional equipment we need, additional personnel or poll workers that we need, which we're needing and using and vitalizing already. We've added an additional early voting site to help spread out. It's benefited me at the county courthouse more so than the other places at this point because it's new. Right now we've reached, yesterday we, at 2 o'clock, we broke start everything. Everybody that voted from 2 o'clock on was a record from any previous election we've ever had in Faulkner County. And so every vote that we have here on out is breaking records. So we're about to meet those numbers again today. So we're using the money to pay the poll workers an additional dollar an hour. We had to purchase two new pieces of equipment because we didn't have any spares. And that was utilized yesterday when one of my machines didn't, the rollers didn't want to work. And if I hadn't have been had this money to be able to get the equipment, I wouldn't have had a spare to use. So those are some of the things that we're using the money for. And also the purchase of the TV for election nights to scroll the results on so people can see and be spread out a little bit. That's all I can think of at the moment. If you get any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Floor's still open for any discussion.
I'd like to say we appreciate the job you and your staff do.
Thank you. They've worked hard. They are working hard.
Judge, I do have a question. Who is this grant through?
I sent y'all the email. I don't know if I put it in with me. So it's a Civic. Do you have it with you? I had it in here, but so much of my stuff's been pulled out in the meantime. Here it is. It's Center for Tech and Civic Life.
Is there any strings attached with this grant or any qualifications that we had to meet, or was it open to all counties?
It was open to all counties. There was no strings attached other than how we spend the money. I had forwarded y'all the information so y'all could see how we were to spend the money. It's fairly open. It's basically they determined that amount based off of the budget we already had.
Scott, I'd ask you, like this grant, anytime we receive a grant, it takes Corps Court's action to actually spend the money.
Yeah, that's correct. This is we had to actually put a new fund. This is a non-fed, non-state grant fund. This is actually from a nonprofit. We've got a few of the other of these that, like Boys and Girls Club, and we've got another fund for them where they give money to juvenile. We do it the same way. But we want to make sure that we know that this is not state or federal grant money. So we created its own fund. And then, even though you get the money, you still have to go through the Quorum Court because they do hold essentially the purse strings of any money that we spend here to be appropriated. I spoke to the gentleman. I believe they were out of Chicago. Is that right? I believe he's out of Chicago.
Yes.
Sent us the check.
Yes.
And I kind of got on the, I think they had a little website or something I got on. But some major foundations, I think, put money into this, and then it goes out to different having people vote kind of situations. But I think you can get on the website, can you see exactly what they do and where they get their money?
Yes. Yes. And I can email that out to you if y'all
send
me a request.
It's a nonprofit. It's the same thing we're doing with Boys and Girls Club when they give to juvenile. It's as far as the county standpoint goes.
Other discussions on the grant? Proposed orders 20-24. Hearing none. The secretary, would you call the vote?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Proposed ordinance 20-4 passes unanimously. Thank y'all. I don't believe moving to the next item, I don't know of any appointments at this time. There are probably some announcements, so the floor is open for anybody who's got an announcement. Announcement to share. You got an announcement?
Did you want to tell them about the 29?
Do what?
The 29th, because we weren't done by the 29th, so that would have been on the line.
Please tell us. I'm drawing a blank. Please, please.
I'm on. That one will fill in for the judge here, and I'm more remind him than he can tell you.
I'll draw the blank.
The typical, the chili cookout has been canceled for the 31st, and I think we'll have burgers on the line. Is that correct on the 29th?
For employee appreciation. All employee appreciation on the 29th. We're a coordinated effort to get a meal for lunch on the lot. There will be probably a Veterans Day parade. I'm not sure what date it is, but it's right prior to Veterans Day. There may be some Veterans Day ceremonies. If we get the information on them, we'll sure put them out where anybody wants to come to that. Let me give you just a quick report on the county fair. It went off without a hitch. We didn't have anything except the livestock show and all, but it was the whole thing was unreal how it turned out. Virtually had an auction, a virtual auction, but the kids were real proud of the efforts that was made by the county fair board and the auction committee. We got it out here. I've got one date, if you'll write it down. November the 6th is Chemical Recovery Day in Faulkner County. Any business, individuals, anybody else that has any old chemicals or chemicals that don't have to be old that they want to get rid of, if they'll bring them to the road shop between 8 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a joint effort with the Arkansas Plant Board is going to receive those and they'll be disposed of. No cost whatsoever. We did have a successful e-waste drive and tire recovery and all that overwhelmed us. But I don't have the exact figures on numbers and tonnage, so I'll wait later on to do that. But this was the third year, and it was unreal how it was attended. I believe Chemical Recovery Day, folks, these people probably got some old chemicals around. I know there's some businesses that have. They want to get rid of them. They'll just load them up and bring them to the road shop. They'll be disposed of. No paint. Just chemical. I see you had an announcement.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just wanted to, like in the observation you just made about the Chemical Recovery Day.
Yes.
In that same vein, I would just like to express appreciation to this county for what you do in terms of domestic violence prevention. Just having a recent example this month myself with a daughter in gunplay. Also what this county does in terms for women and some men for breast cancer prevention. Also October found itself recognizing diversity in this county's efforts to continually improve on diversity. And lastly, the Bosses Day, which was last Friday, I believe, in recognizing the job that you always aspire to do on behalf of us as our executive boss for this county. And thank you to Mr. Chris openly for the transparency work, which I find easy to know what the commissions and boards are in the city of Conway, but not quite as easy to find information about our county. So thank you for your transparency work and to every one of you who work.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You referred to Boston today. It came and went pretty fast. It really did. But, anybody else have any other announcements at all?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Thank everybody for coming. This meeting is adjourned.